From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif met in Moscow on Tuesday to discuss issues relating to bilateral cooperation, including the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, recent developments in the Persian Gulf, and other matters. The two ministers held a joint press conference after their talks, and we bring you that in its entirety.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have had a conversation with the Foreign Minister of Iran, Mohammad Javad Zarif. Value his visit to Moscow, the second visit in a month, despite the problems that the coronavirus has created for diplomacy. But before we've had this talk, Mr. Zarif translated his message, or rather Iran's president's message to President of Russia, Vladimir Putin. And then we've had talks here in the Russian Foreign Ministry mentioned. We have noted that our bilateral dialogue, including on the high level, has been going very good. On the 16th of July, we've had a telephone conversation between our presidents. We have direct contacts between our ministries, including the healthcare ministry, where we discussed the efforts to fight COVID-19. And we agree that only with joint effort we can do that. We have had very good results in terms of investment cooperation, thanks to the agreements reached by our leaders. Also, we both agree that we should oppose foreign measures to block economic actions or other economic activities of Iran. We have noted that our Economic Activity Commission has been progressing very well. In autumn, we're going to have another session. We welcome Russian and Iranian regions that wish to coordinate and cooperate. We have compared notes in a number of regional and global situations. We have discussed certain aspects in terms of the implementation of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action on Iran. Recently, this agreement marked its fifth anniversary. And this agreement was actually very productive in terms of maintaining global security. And we are committed to maintaining and preserving this agreement. We believe that cooperation between partners to this agreement based on mutual understanding and respect is paramount in accordance with UN Security Council Resolution 2231. We have discussed the situation in Syria. In July, we've had a trilateral video conference between the guarantors of the ASNAP process, and we have agreed to continue to act together to help this war-torn country. We have also discussed the issues of Afghanistan, the crisis in Yemen, and other Middle Eastern issues related to the conflict between Palestine and Israel. And we have agreed to continue close contacts on all of these issues. Thank you.
In the name of Allah, the Merciful. Good afternoon, friends, media. It is my 30th visit to Russia, my 30th visit since I became the Foreign Minister of Iran. And starting from the day when the pandemic started. It's my second time here. So I would like to thank Mr. Lavrov for his hospitality, and I also would like to thank the Russian people for their very warm welcome. I've transferred the greetings from Mr. Rouhani to Mr. Lavrov and Mr. Putin. We had an in-depth conversation, and I found all the comments made by Mr. Lavrov very valuable. Mr. Lavrov said, we have talked over the bilateral issues, and I can tell you that we have a bilateral agreement on the foundations of our cooperation and partnership that was signed in 2001, and soon will be celebrating its 20th anniversary, and it will be automatically prolongated for another 5 years. We agreed to keep up our efforts on this track, updating our agendas, and we will also be signing a new agreement which will be in line with the existing environment. So we will come up with a new agreement by the time this agreement will expire. This document will be given to the parliament to ratify it. Among other things, we discussed international agenda, our regional cooperation is very robust. Concerning Syria, the ASNA format is the only effective mechanism which has allowed to alleviate tensions and dispel the crisis, as it was. That was done thanks to the efforts of Iran, Russia, and Turkey. Now, in Yemen, we would like to see the end of suffering for the people, incorporating with Russia on these and other issues such as Afghanistan, and to achieve greater peace and stability in Afghanistan, we need to step up our efforts in terms of maintaining and promoting dialogue. I would like to thank Russia for a very firm position on the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Same goes to China. We would like to thank both countries for taking a stance at the United Nations and the IAEA. These countries seek to keep the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action in place, this way supporting peace and stability. On the 14th of July, this agreement celebrated its 5th anniversary, and it is a historical agreement. It showed that there is a very good way to solve problems, and that is diplomacy. And what we've been seeing on the part of the United States is direct violation of this agreement. We've been seeing the unilateral sanctions mounted on the people of Iran. And even this pandemic is no excuse. They continue doing that. But by this, they are discrediting their own government. Today, we talked over further steps that we are going to take in terms of our partnership with Russia. In the IAEA and UN, we have a very good dialogue with all the members. And right now, what I would say again is thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here again. Thank you.
In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Good evening, Mr. Zarif, Mr. Lavrov. As you've noted in your statements, that this agreement between Iran and Russia will be marking a 20th anniversary, etc. Mr. Lavrov, what's your opinion with respect to the possibility to extend this agreement? Does Russia want to extend the same agreement, or maybe it's going to be expanded in any way? Yes, this agreement includes the key areas of our cooperation, and it contains the automatic extension clause for the next 5 years. This can be done at any moment, but today we agreed that 20 years is a very long time, and the past 5 years, when we've observed a lot of radical and dramatic change in the international arena and in the world order in terms of global politics and global economy and the new threats that humanity faces, like terrorism, organized crime, climate change, new viruses that everyone is talking about today. So we have a common understanding, a common position, and we will be thinking on maybe agreeing on a new type of document that will reflect the changes in the world, and we will formulate our positions with respect to that.
RC, if I may, my first question is for Mr. Zarev. Iran's foreign ministry confirmed that it's ready to settle its dispute with Saudi Arabia through a dialogue that was done during your visit to one of the neighboring countries. So what are the prospects for this dialogue, and what role can Iraq play, taking into account the fact that, well, today is a quite difficult situation? Mr. Lavrov, what role can Russia play in terms of helping to achieve dialogue here in the region of the Gulf? Russia has put forward an initiative of collective security framework. Do you think it's still viable, even though today we see the US and Europe trying to undermine this framework? Well, Iran never stopped wanting to have good relations with its neighbors. It's one of our priorities. We always seek better relations with neighbors. Today, we have the best relations with Russia in terms of the last 10 years. Same goes for Turkey and Iran. We have very close relations with Pakistan and many other countries here on the southern shore of the Gulf. Unfortunately, Saudi Arabia, they don't want to have good relations with us. Well, if they don't want it, that's okay. But I can tell you that we want to have good relations with anyone, because we need to respect each other. We need to respect our territorial integrity and sovereignty of other countries. We need to abide by the principle of non-interference in the domestic affairs. The government of Saudi Arabia knows our position very well. We have put forward a number of initiatives in the field of security, and Russia suggested an initiative of its own, and we welcome this initiative wholeheartedly, and our president also voiced his opinion, so-called peace in the Hormuz Strait initiative. It's good to see that Russia welcomed these initiatives, and these two initiatives are very close in terms of their meaning and idea. As for Iran, they have also showed some interest, because Iraq wants to play a greater role in ensuring stability and security in the region. It's good to see that most of the regional powers are aware of the realities. Some countries, it was harder because it took time for them to wrap their heads around all the peculiarities of this ever-changing world, but still, today is the time when anyone can play a role in ensuring stability and security. So we welcome the role of anyone in helping to establish greater security in this region and to build trust, because we need more trust between regional powers. That's something we've always welcomed, and we would be glad to see other countries play a more important role in this.
Russia believes that problems of any region, whether it's Middle East or Northern Africa or elsewhere, should be resolved through dialogue and include the participation of all the interested states and through the search for a balance of interests. Every country has its legitimate interests and they should be respected. Of course, outside actors, as we see it, should create the conditions for inclusive dialogue and prevent any attempts to create roadblocks or in any way create problems with respect to these diplomatic activities. Unfortunately, our Western colleagues are also practicing this negative approach with respect to the Islamic world, bringing discord, and which is counterproductive and it's artificial. We are convinced that as part of the Islamic Cooperation Organization, the principles are respected by Iran and others. These principles should be respected and should be used to resolve problems in the Islamic world, in the world at large. And this is emphasized in the name of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. And Russia is trying to create this kind of atmosphere conducive to cooperation and diplomacy. And Iran and Turkey and Russian efforts, efforts of all three countries to resolve issues in the region are showing that this can be very productive, very successful. Or take Jordan and Iraq. This shows how Muslims or Arabs or other ethnic groups can unite their efforts to address problems. And so we need this kind of joining of efforts, not just with respect to Syria, Libya and Iraq, but also with respect to the conflict in between Israel and Palestine, and a conflict that is greatly affecting the atmosphere in the region as a whole. As for the situation in the Gulf, we have been approaching this problem from the positions that I've outlined. The only way forward is not by creating coalitions, like creating a sort of a Middle Eastern NATO organization, but because this is an approach that seeks to isolate one party and impose ways of life on it or someone's goals on it. But rather, we support an approach that would unite all of the countries of the Gulf, and we believe that, and we propose that even outside partners, including UN Security Council members and the European Union and the Arab League countries and others, participate in this process, because in the end, in the long run, this is the kind of approach that will allow us to have a stable development of the region with respect towards all the peoples living here. And as for the peace initiative in the Hormuz Strait, this is the same. I cannot say that creating a system of collective security in the Persian Gulf is opposed by any countries of the region. Maybe there are old phobias or grudges, deeply held grudges, are in some way creating roadblocks towards on this path. But I believe that this approach is the right one, and I have no worries that we will be still achieving consensus here. My question is to Mr. Lavrov and to Mr. Zarif. The Americans are talking about minimal and maximum steps of the extension of the arms embargo on Iran. In accordance with the JCPOA, the sanctions should be lifted in the upcoming months. Mr. Lavrov, how can you comment on the nuclear deal? What's Russia's position? The UN Security Council did not impose the arms embargo on Iran in the complete sense of this phrase. Actually, it introduced a regime of partial embargo, or rather, this regime will be expiring in October this year, and introducing a full-scale arms embargo against Iran is pointless. And in accordance with UN Security Council Resolution 2231, these measures were not only just temporary, but also this was a sign of goodwill towards Iran, because these measures have nothing to do with Iranian nuclear program. So our position, Russia's position towards this issue is very clear and very simple. We believe that these efforts to extend the embargo should not come to fruition. We have presented our position in full, and that's it.
Mr. Lavrov said it absolutely right. Resolution 2231 didn't say anything about any arms embargo. It sets forward a set of permissions to be given for a certain period of time. That was the result of very long talks. It was a consolidated package of measures which was sailed together with the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. If we derail this, we will derail the whole framework together with the 2231 resolution. We've heard many voices, European included, that Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action should stay. Other documents related to it should stay as well. What I can tell you is that if there is any attempt to change the arrangements, then this would mean violation of the whole package of treaties signed on this track of our efforts. My question is for both ministers. So when we should expect this actor to take a full-fledged part?
There are no obstacles for Iran to become a part of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. We believe that Iran fits all the criteria, and Russia has supported Iran's bid to become part of the SCO, and we are working on that. Good afternoon, Mr. Lavrov. My question is, did really John Bolton had any ground to vote former president that Iran has no place in Syria, and or this quote about Russian interests? Well, I don't think that Mr. Bolton had no ground to quote Mr. Putin, because Mr. Putin has never said anything like that, and it is not part of our traditions, it's not the way we do things, it is not how Mr. President does things, by playing games behind the backs of our partners. We have close cooperation with Iran and Turkey, and the forming of this trilateral format, the Astana format, is what enabled us to move forward in the Geneva process, which was stalling. And only after Iran and Russia decided to help Syria move forward towards peaceful resolution and in the political and economic and other senses, only then did progress start. And now the three countries, Iran, Turkey and Russia, are acting as a sort of a catalyst and in order to help the international community to help Syria in accordance with UN Security Council Resolution 2254. I'm not going to comment on the tradition of US former politicians to write memoirs about their previous work when they comment sometime in a negative way on what they have done in the past. This is part of their culture, you could say, but this is not very cultured, I would say, what they write about.
What Mr. Bolton said we don't think that's true, and that is in no way reflects the cooperation that we have with Russia or Turkey when it comes to Syria and our efforts to establish peace and stability. We've been working closely to put an end to terrorism. ISIS has been vanquished, and that was the result of our very tight cooperation. We worked together with Russia, together with the people of Syria. Shoulder to shoulder, we made this happen. The Syrian people, they remember what we did. They remember that Russia and Iran stood together with Syria, helping to put an end to terrorism. When we continued helping other regions of Syria when terrorism was wiped out most of the parts, we've seen some actors flaring up tensions. United States, they want wars and wars and more wars. That's what Bolton always wanted. Trump himself said that if Bolton could, he would start a third world war already. For him, all these campaigns, the statements, is a good way to sell his books, and we do not believe in what he says.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.